The East Bay Business Times welcomes you to the Publisher's Notebook podcast, hosted by Mike Consul, publisher of the East Bay Business Times. The Publisher's Notebook features an interview with a different East Bay executive each week. This is an expanded audio version of the column that appeared in the weekly print edition. Publisher's Notebook is produced by XLRQ.com. This segment is sponsored by Studio Blue. And now your host, Mike Consul.
And now, the East Bay Business Times interview with Amgen executive Allison Moore.
What was your first job?
Let's see. Well, my father is a pharmacist, so my first job was to work with my father. He had like a local drugstore, like you don't really find anymore here in the United States, but like a community pharmacy store. And so I used to work with him and help him out doing various things on the both on the kind of prescription-oriented side and also on the retail side.
What is your business philosophy?
If I had to summarize, I believe that my business philosophy is to make all decisions with data. I'm a very data-driven individual, and I like to try to solve the conundrums that we come to every day in the complexities of our business with data of all sorts.
How do you stay motivated?
For me, I feel really privileged and passionate to be part of the biotechnology industry. I think that I found it a little bit by dumb luck, but now that I've been part of it for a significant amount of time, it's not difficult for me to feel passionate about the objectives associated with biotechnology. And Amgen's mission is to serve patients and to know that the outcome of our activities is a product that really meaningfully impacts people's lives is literally very motivating to me on a daily basis.
How do you measure success?
Success, I think, means so many different things to different companies and different individuals. But again, associated with this industry and the business that I'm in, I measure success by, are we making a difference? Are we delivering something that makes a tangible difference in the way that we conceive that it might?
What's the best decision you've ever made?
The best decision that I made was to choose to study for a PhD. I think that that opened multiple opportunities for me, both professionally and personally. And I think I learned a lot about myself personally during the time that I studied for that PhD.
What did you learn about yourself while you were studying for that PhD?
In a lot of one's education, it's highly structured. Even during a bachelor's degree, there's a good degree of structure. I think in a postgraduate degree, and especially one that is research-based, which was what mine was, is that you have to learn how to structure your time. You have to spend perhaps years of your personal time with maybe marginal output, but it's all for sort of greater achievement at the end of the day. Also, you don't have any remuneration for it, so you're doing it because you have to be either driven personally or motivated by your research subject matter or supported in other ways. And I think as a young adult, I think it's a very eye-opening opportunity about sustaining oneself while learning and achieving a more significant level of analytical capability, expression, data analysis, drawing conclusions, satisfying a very rigorous bar.
What has been your worst decision?
I think I've had lots of poor decisions, as probably most people have, but I think my worst decision was to color my own hair. When I look back at my life and I think, what was really the worst thing that I did? It was one occasion where I colored my own hair and had an enormous yellow patch in the back of my head for months.
What color were you going for?
I think I was going for like a little lighter blonde. I didn't succeed.
And you have a chemistry degree, don't you?
I have a pharmacology degree. I should have known better.
We learn by experimenting, I guess.
Yes.
What is your definition of leadership?
So here I would like to answer this with some Amgen thoughts, but I really subscribe to them and I think they're extremely useful. So there are four aspects in the definition of leadership that are actually used in the measurement of leadership performance at Amgen. One is, how well does one chart the course for one's colleagues? How well does one deliver results? So delivery, of course, is key. How well does one develop the best team? We can't do anything unless we have the most highly productive team around us. Fourthly, are you a good role model as a leader? So those are the four attributes that we often discuss and measure against in terms of leadership capability at Amgen.
What has been your biggest missed opportunity?
I think that I have been very fortunate in my professional opportunities, so I'm going to answer that in a slightly different way. And I think that my biggest missed opportunity was to continue practicing yoga that I did for years. And then I had my child, then my priorities changed, and I really feel that I miss that almost every day.
So you discontinued practicing?
Yes.
Who was your mentor?
I think I've been fortunate along the way to have several people that I've tried to learn from and who've influenced me in various ways. But if I have to call out one, I would call out a professor at the university that I went to. And that was a long time ago, even in my undergraduate years. Professor Carpenter, his name was. And he taught me more acutely than anybody to critically appraise data in a very rigorous manner. Again, because of my career choices, I often think about what he taught me and the methods that he taught me, and I really think that I use them very, very frequently.
And what course did he teach?
He taught an element of my pharmacology bachelor's degree.
Yeah, what university was this?
In Manchester, in England.
In Professor Carpenter? His
yes.
First name is?
John.
John Carpenter, a famous name in the movie world as well.
Yes.
What single word best describes Alison Moore?
Well, this takes a lot of thought, I think. And I think the word that I'm going to choose is humanitarian.
Why did you pick humanitarian?
Well, I think that I am influenced and take this into consideration in everything that I do in my professional and personal day is about the human condition, a consideration of the human condition. And sometimes that's described in various ways. In the business context, it's sometimes described as emotional intelligence. But, you know, in the personal context, it's described as lots of other things. And I think that I really like to understand another individual's personal disposition when I enter into a conversation, dialogue, debate, or to understand the disposition of a group of people if they have an issue or a concern, or if they're celebrating, no matter what the circumstance is, for me to do my, or I was going to say to do my job, but I think even in the way that I behave in my life, that has been a very central element to me.
What do you like best about your job?
I'm going to say two things. So Amgen's mission is to serve patients, and I love that aspect of this job and this industry. And the second thing is I feel very fortunate that I have the opportunity to create a team around me. And I feel equally fortunate that that team is really outstanding. The people that I work with are outstanding individuals, and I love coming to work every day because of them.
What do you like least about your job?
Early morning telecons.
What are your interests?
My interests are I spend, I would say, most of my time with my daughter, Emma. She's 3 years old, so that's a very consuming interest. And if I had the time, I have a burning interest around Iyengar yoga. As I mentioned already, unfortunately, I don't practice right now, but I would call those out as my major interests.
What is your pet peeve?
Poor manners.
I'll get my elbows off the table. What's the most important lesson you've learned?
I believe in my life, the most important lesson I learned is around acceptance. And I consider myself very fortunate that I ended up in the Bay Area. And the reason for that is I was born and raised in Northern Ireland. And I was a child in the 1970s, and that was a very challenging time in the history of Northern Ireland. My family still live there. It's my home. I still love it. But it was very good for me to leave Northern Ireland at various points in my life. For example, I went to university in England, so even that short distance away was healthy for me to understand different perspectives about the situation in Northern Ireland. It's a very provincial and parochial culture, and that has been a result of hundreds of years of challenging history. I think that the Bay Area, out of probably few places in the world, has such a degree of acceptance that's very much in contrast to what was around me when I was raised. And so I really appreciate a non-judgmental element in the people that I interact with is very important to me. And the lessons that I have learned are associated with how I have modified my position on things as a result of, I think, my maturity following my childhood in Northern Ireland.
Let's zero in just a little bit on your acceptance. What specifically did you have to learn to accept living or growing up in Northern Ireland?
Well, in Northern Ireland, first of all, it's not a very diverse community. It's a tiny geography by area, and it's not very diverse in terms of ethnicity or religion. There's a primary religion, and it's Christianity. However, one is either Roman Catholic or Protestant. And when you're born, whether you choose to practice your religion or not, you are one or the other. And that's a tremendously strong delineator in that little country. I think for people who are born and raised there, they perhaps don't, and I put myself in this category too, they perhaps don't even understand the rules and regulations that have been created in that social architecture around this aspect of religion and the history of your family or the location that your family lives in, whether it's more likely in a Protestant area or in a Roman Catholic area. And it was only when I stepped away from living in Northern Ireland that I appreciated a lot of the prejudices that I inherited from living in that community. And I wasn't even aware of them. That's the illuminating thing to me, that they're not even necessarily deliberate if you're born and raised in a community where it's almost a given. So I think there was a lot of self-learning that was available to me because I could step outside of that and start to question, well, why do I think that it's logical for me to feel, you know, one-sided about this particular aspect of an argument, political, religious, or otherwise? And often it was simply because of what I had been taught, you know, literally on a daily basis. Even the school system, even my education, I think, was very one-sided.
Knowing the violent conflict going on between the British and the IRA at the time, mm-hmm. did you grow up with a lot of fear or rage in your life?
I remember as a child feeling fearful, yes. I would go with my family to visit relatives maybe only 10 miles away. And I can remember listening to my father talking to his uncle about the situation, and they would just be having a chat about, you know, whatever was on the news that day. But I, as a child, I remember feeling fearful about whether, when we got back in the car, whether we would make it home. On the other hand, because I was a child, when I would go shopping with my mother, I wouldn't bat an eyelid that a guy in full army regalia carrying a machine gun was going to pat us down to feel that we didn't have arms on us before we could walk into a store. That was the situation in Belfast at the time, but I didn't know anything otherwise. You know, there were odd aspects of that environment that I felt no fear about, because to me that was normal, unfortunately. Didn't realize it at the time.
Thank you for joining this segment of the Publisher's Notebook with your host, Mike Consul. Publisher's Notebook is produced by XLRQ.com. This segment was sponsored by Studio Blue.